Okay, shall we quickly pray, then we're going to get into it. Thank you, Lord, that you choose to speak to us, that you don't just leave us the way we are, but you have so much more for us, more than we could ever imagine or dream, and we are so incredibly grateful for that. Thank you that you are a great shepherd, and that you are a protector, you are our guide. The wild animals and the wild beasts cannot get to us because you are our shepherd and you are the one who protects us. We are so grateful. In Jesus' name, amen. And so, so I'm going to be following on from George and Jono a little bit. And my title for this talk is Staying Alive, Staying Alive, Staying Alert, Staying Alive. You know that song? Staying Alive, Staying Alive. How's it going? No one. Okay, no one's going to forget the title now. Staying Alert, Staying Alive. It's not on there, but it is, that's what it is. Okay, so Jen and I have been going through a bit of a tough situation recently with Sam. And he hasn't really been sleeping at all. So it's been really, really a serious sickle for us. And we've been seriously sleep deprived and kind of been struggling through it. And so Jen and I have kind of been in our sleep deprived state trying to figure out what on earth is going on here. We've been asking ourselves over and over as we're trying to figure out what's going on. We're like, is this just a bad behavior thing, you know? Because he's like just kicking and screaming and going off his nut in the middle of the night. And literally for an hour and a half, 2 hours at a time, he just can't, he's like unplayable. And at 2 in the morning, you know, you're not very Christian, so it's a little bit difficult to control your behavior. You know, the Lord needs to help you a lot. So we're like, is he being bad? Is this just a developmental thing? You know, they go through these things, and now he's 2 and a half, he's our first child, so we're trying to figure this thing out. We're like, what on earth is going on here? And so we realize that there must be more to this. There must be more to this. We're thinking, you know, is he sick? Is there something we're missing? And so on Monday, we took him to the doctor, and there was something we were missing. And there was more to it. He was sick. He was very sick, actually. And he still is. He's got like 5 different things wrong with him, of which 2 are pretty serious. And we didn't even know he's had them for quite a while. And so fortunately, we're managing to treat them, and they're going to get sorted out. But it's been a really tough time. It's been pretty brutal. And last night was probably my first relatively full night's sleep, besides Kevin snoring, that I got in a long while. Thanks, Kev. Even that wasn't as bad as a child crying for 2 hours, bro. And so it's been pretty brutal. And at this moment, John, I'd love you to come give me a back rub, bro, because I'm feeling quite sorry for myself. I'm kidding. And so you could be saying, oh, lovely story, and Shane Bates, sorry for you. How does that relate to us? And that's a good question. And you know how it does relate? Because at exactly the same time last year when Jen and I were busy with Alpha, busy hosting Alpha, which is what we're doing now, Sam had exactly the same thing, sleeping, just wouldn't sleep, unplayable in the night. People would come and babysit and were like, sorry, guys. Good luck. And then we'd leave. But exactly the same thing happened at the same time. And so I want to ask you, is that a coincidence? Or is there more? Is there more to that? And so I want to ask you, are there any situations in your life or any moments that you've had, maybe several of them, where you're doing something pretty important and then something just comes along and absolutely messes it up? Something comes along and just like distracts you, or, you know, it's a complete nightmare. Maybe you're just about to write your biggest exam and then you get sick. I mean, who's that happened to? Probably several of us. Or, you know, you're on a coffee date with a friend who you're really hoping will come to meet Jesus, and some random topic comes up and they get like hyper offended by it. And you're like, how did that happen? You know, it's just the plan just goes completely wrong, and it's just not what you were planning. Or maybe there's a friend of yours who's a Christ follower, and they keep having these like strange panic attacks or something, you know, and it's like a bit freaky, but you know they know Jesus, but these things are happening, and you're thinking there must be more to this. What on earth is going on here? Or maybe it's like, you know, you're sitting down to spend some time with Jesus, some quality time, first time in a week, and as you get into it, your mom phones, and she's like, have you watered the plants? You know, you're like, seriously, again? You know, I don't know. Maybe there are a few of these things that happen, and there are a variety of things. Maybe it's an addiction. Maybe there's just this one thing that just keeps getting you and keeps bothering you. And you've been trying your best. You've been praying. You've been speaking to people about it. Just keeps getting you, and you're thinking, there must be more to this. There must be more to this. And as you're trying to figure it out, you're trying to like tick off the list, you know, of what could be wrong. And you're trying to use your logic to be like, wait, but I've checked this. It's not that. Maybe I'm doing this wrong. Maybe it's that situation. You've ticked off the whole list, and And you just can't get to a conclusion. Like, stuff's just not adding up. And you're thinking, you know, there must be more to this. I don't know if it's just me, or if that's you. But maybe it is you. And the beautiful thing is that you're not the only person to have thought that. There's a story of Jesus in Mark 5 where I'm pretty sure some of the people in this encounter that Jesus had were thinking that same thing. There must be more to this. And so I'd love us to go to Mark 5. I think the scripture is going to pop up on the screen. Mark 5, 1 to 20. It's relatively long. If you have a Bible, it would be great for you to go there, if you can get there quick enough. If not, don't worry. I'm using the ESV translation. Okay, so here we go. Mark 5, verse 1. They came to the other side of the sea, to the country of something, Gerasenes. And when Jesus stepped out of the boat, immediately they met him out of the tombs, a man with an unclean spirit. Okay, unclean spirit, that's an evil spirit, spirit of darkness, demon. This man, by all accounts, was a pretty scary guy. Imagine that. They jump out the boat, get to the other side, they're just wanting to like kind of, and then this freaky oak runs up to them and like faces them immediately. And this is what it says about him. He lives among the tombs, verse 3. And no one could bind him anymore, not even with a chain. I mean, who's the strongest oak you know? If you tied him up with chains, I'm pretty sure you would struggle to break free of them. This oak was breaking the chains. He had often been bound with shackles and chains, but he wrenched the chains apart and he broke the shackles in pieces. No one had the strength to subdue him. I'm sure they didn't. Night and day among the tombs and on the mountains, he was always crying out and cutting himself with stones. This oak was pretty mad, if you think about it. He's that guy. Imagine me, like, you know, you guys went on a hike now, and there's some dude there cutting himself with rocks, shouting at you guys, throwing rocks at you as you come by. You'd be pretty freaked out, you know? And this is the guy who confronted Jesus and his disciples as they jumped out of the boat. And so I'm pretty sure they got a bit of a fright. And so verse 6. And when he saw Jesus, that's the demon-possessed man, when he saw Jesus from afar, he ran and fell down before him. And crying out with a loud voice, he said, "What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I adjure you by God, do not torment me." And listen to this key moment, verse 8. For he was saying to him, Jesus was saying to the demon-possessed man, "Come out of the man, you unclean spirit. Come out of the man, you demon." How beautiful is that? This man's coming towards Jesus. He's as freaky and as scary as it can be. And he falls at Jesus' feet. And Jesus, without a flinch, doesn't panic. He has compassion on this man. He's like, look at what the devil is doing to this man. Look how this man's life is being destroyed. I'm sure these are the thoughts that are going through his head. And he just says, devil, out. Get out of this man. You're not welcome to destroy his life anymore. Verse 9. And Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" He replied, "My name is Legion, for we are many." That's the demon speaking. And he begged him earnestly not to send him out of the country. Verse 11. Now a great herd of pigs was feeding there on the hillside. And they begged him, saying, "Send us to the pigs. Let us enter them." And so Jesus gave them permission. And the unclean spirits came out and entered the pigs. And the herd, numbering about 2,000, rushed down the steep bank into the sea and drowned in the sea. So at this point, I reckon that farmer's pretty bummed, eh? That's all his livestock gone and drowned himself in the sea. He's not such a happy chap. And I'm sure those pigs were a little confused too. But, by the way, if you're wondering if your cat or your dog is demon-possessed, I think this is biblical evidence. There could be, just saying. I'm kidding. Anyway, moving on. verse 14. The herdsmen fled and told it in the city and in the country. People came to see what had happened. And they came to Jesus and saw the demon-possessed man, the one who had had the legion, sitting there, clothed and in his right mind. How beautiful. And they were afraid. And those who had seen it described to them what had happened to the demon-possessed man and to the pigs. And they began to beg Jesus to depart from the region. Isn't that a bit of a bizarre response, eh? This Jesus has done this miraculous work. He's like literally turned this guy's life around in a moment. This guy was tormenting them and they were so scared of. He's turned their life around. This guy's sitting at his feet, completely calm, normal, fully clothed. And like, hold on, we don't want this miracle worker to do anything good for us. Get out of our country. A little bit bizarre. Anyway, you know, people. Verse 18. We're almost done with the scripture. As he was getting into the boat, the man who had been possessed with demons begged him that he might be with him. And he did not permit him, but said to him, "Go home to your friends and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you." Beautiful. And he went away and began to proclaim in the Decapolis how much Jesus had done for him, and everyone marveled. And so when I was 18 years old, I'd been following Jesus for about 2 years. And we had started a small group in my high school. And one of the guys who'd been coming along fairly regularly, I'd made pretty good friends with him. He was 2 years below me. And he had met Jesus probably about a year earlier. And the one night, we were having small group in the boarding house, and he came along and he looked decidedly down, like decidedly weird. I noticed something was not lacquer. And so we enjoyed the evening. We had the small group, and came up to me afterwards, and I said to him, "Oh, like, you know, what's up? What's going on?" And he, excuse you, and he said, and so he started kind of just sharing a bit of his story. And he had been on an exchange in the USA about 3 months before that. So he'd just come back and had joined our small group again. And so he started sharing a bit about what he had done on his exchange and so on, and suddenly he started getting teary. And then suddenly, he just dropped to the floor. And this is when I got a little bit freaked out. And he started writhing on the floor and like pulling his nails in the carpet and making these weird screeching noises. And it was just me and him in the room, eh? And I was like, whoa, what's going on here? This is a bit scary. And so in a flash, the only thing I knew how to do was to just say the name of Jesus. That's what I started doing. And just started saying the name of Jesus and like, sort of caught my composure after a moment and started praying a few other prayers, but essentially just praying that, you know, Jesus would come and sort this thing out, because the only thing I can imagine that this was like some manifestation or something. I've never seen anything like it. And so a few minutes later, I keep praying for him, and a few minutes later he kind of suddenly stops and lies on the floor, and he's just dead. He's deadbeat, absolutely exhausted. And he then eventually stands up, and he's just so fragile and frail, as you can imagine, and kind of give him a hug and pray for him, and then he went home, and we went home. But in that moment, I was like, wow. And as I was reflecting on it over the next few days, I was like, there must be more to this. There must be more to this than what's going on here. My understanding of the faith and of Christianity at that time was pretty limited. And so as I had this experience, no one had ever told me or warned me that this could happen. I was like, guys, come on, you know. And I just kept on thinking, there must be more to this. What, you know? And so I went and asked a few guys and found out a bit more and did a bit of research. But I found out that the answer was that there is more to this. There is more than just meets the eye. There is more than just meets the eye and all those different situations you might find yourself in from time to time where you're asking yourself, is there more to this? Is there more to this? There is more. There are two very real kingdoms at play, and the guys referenced it earlier. Two very real kingdoms at play in life, the kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of light. And they influence your everyday life in various ways and in different ways, but they do influence your everyday life. And so I wanted to get an egg here and hold it, but I didn't manage to find one. So I'm going to stop with the illustration. But anyway, the spiritual realm is so real, guys. It is so real. And in that moment, on that day, I was like, there's something more to this. And I realized the spiritual realm is real. And so I want to say to you, you don't have to have an experience like I had there when I was 18. You can just read the text. You can read the Bible and know that the spiritual realm is real. The devil and his demons are real. God and his angels are real. They are real. They are both powerful, but God and his angels have power and authority, which is a very important thing to know. But what I wanted to say is that there is more. There is more. And so in our story that we read earlier that Jesus was involved in, when that demon-possessed man was cutting himself and he was breaking the chains and he was running around the mountains and screaming and destroying his life, I'm sure in his few sane moments, he was thinking, is there more to this? And yes, there is. The kingdom of darkness was at play in his life, destroying his life. And so when Jesus told the demons to leave that man, that demon-possessed man, and they left, Jesus knew there was more than meets the eye here. His kingdom of light was flooding into that man's light, that man's life. And when the pigs rushed down the hill, shame, poor pigs, eh? When the pigs rushed down that hill and the farmer lost maybe all of his livestock, I'm pretty sure those farmers who were sitting there were thinking, there must be more to this. I mean, I'm sure they'd never seen anything like it in their lives before, where all the livestock just rush into the lake and drown themselves. I'm pretty sure they were thinking, is there more to this than meets the eye? And yes, there was. The kingdom of darkness was at play there to possess those pigs so that they would destroy their own lives and so that they would heavily detriment the life of the farmer and his wealth and his ability to carry on living. And then this is a key one, and I think this is where a lot of us will find ourselves in the text you read today. The townspeople. When the townspeople came out to see what Jesus had done, and when they saw it, they saw this demon-possessed man sitting, they heard the story of the pig, they were filled with fear and doubt. And right there, there was more than meets the eye to that response. That was the kingdom of darkness coming in and hardening their hearts to the work and the love of Jesus. And so the reason I say some of us might find ourselves in this category is because I think the devil has done very well to blind us to the reality of who he is and his work in our lives. I think a lot of us walk around very oblivious, as I did when I was 18. I'd known Jesus for 2 years. I didn't have a clue what was going on in the kingdom of darkness and how the devil was like a lion prowling around trying to destroy us. And then lastly, in our story, when that formerly demon-possessed man gets up and he's delivered and he's free and he wants to just go and declare what Jesus has done for him, and he wants to go and take this story of mercy and goodness of what God's done to all the people, that's the kingdom of light breaking in. That's the kingdom of Jesus just coming and flooding and filling the earth as he went and shared that amazing good news. And so perhaps you're asking, well, Bates, what does this kind of apply to me? That's a Bible story written long ago. Does it even really have relevance? That's Jesus. I'm me. And so I want to ask, in your stories that you might have thought of earlier when I brought up a few examples, when there are moments where you catch yourself thinking, surely there's more to this, where the maths just isn't adding up, where the puzzle pieces aren't fitting together, and you're thinking, is there more to this? Perhaps there is. Perhaps there is more to it than meets the eye. And so I have to throw in a C.S. Lewis quote because I preach at New Gen, so I'll do it. I don't have it up there, but listen up. There are two equal and opposite errors into which our race can fall about the devils. One is to disbelieve in their existence. The other is to believe and to feel an excessive and unhealthy interest in them. They themselves, the demons, are equally pleased by both errors and hail a materialist or a magician with the same delight. And so if you believe that the spiritual realm is real and that the kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of light are real and that they influence our everyday lives, we need to respond to this somehow. We need to respond to the reality that there are powers at play in our everyday lives. How do we respond to that? And I want to put to you that I'm pretty sure there are only three ways that you can respond. Two of them are mentioned by C.S. Lewis in this quote I just read, and then the third one, I think, is prescribed in the scripture we read earlier. And so the first response we could have is has anyone heard of the band called Demon Hunter? Yes, that's a rough name, eh? It's supposed to be a Christian band. I'm like, oh, you could have chosen a better name, eh? Really. Anyway, that's off the point a little bit. So our first response could be that we become these like demon hunters, you know? There's like a spirit behind every bush and everything can be described by like some weird sort of spiritual force and whatever. And I'll describe, maybe you know some of these people, I see some people laughing. I'll describe that as hyper-spirituality. You will find generally these sorts of people all are quite similar, and they are very interested in just spiritual stuff all the time, every moment of every day of everything, and it's a little bit unhelpful, to be honest, but it is a way to respond to the reality of the spiritual realm. And then there's a second way, and I certainly found myself guilty of this for many years, is that we could just remain oblivious and try and kind of reason everything out by logic, you know, as we go. And we can reason out a lot of things, but we could stay in that court, and then and stuff that we don't understand and can't explain, just kind of leave it aside, you know. And we could be in that court, and I would call these people non-spirituals. So you get the hyper-spirituals, you get the non-spirituals, and then I think there's a third response, which I think is the healthiest response, and I would call it healthy spirituality. And it's the one that that Jesus prescribed to the man who was delivered from the demons. And that response is just acknowledging that there are powers at play in our lives, that the demon and his devil and the devil and his demons do stuff, and they do have power, but then that Jesus has authority over every power and every principality. And I think, if we read the text, you'll see that that's what Jesus said to that man who had been delivered from the demons. And so I think we all take the healthy choice, eh? Would anyone go for hyper-spirituality? Okay, don't put up your hand. Non-spirituals, I guess a few of us in the room would be found guilty of that at this point in time. But we can choose the healthy response, guys, which is so cool. And it's so cool that it's in the Bible. Like, we don't have to make this up. This is what Jesus teaches. And it's really the gospel. And so here, we're going to be talking a bit more about this tomorrow, about how exactly to live in that, what I would call healthy spirituality, how to engage in healthy spiritual warfare. But I just want to give you a little sneak peek now from that scripture. Mark 5:19. Is it there, Dev? It's just a little excerpt from Mark 5:19. There we are. Yeah. And he did not permit him, but said to him, and this is the verse, a little part of the verse I'm going to focus on. Go home to your friends. This is Jesus speaking to the demon-possessed man. Go home to your friends and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you. And how he has had mercy on you. And so how do we live that in that space of healthy spirituality?
We have power.
Just start, eh?
The power girl.
Yeah. Okay.
There must be more.
Let's pray.
So how do we live in healthy spirituality? We apply the gospel. And that's exactly what happened in this guy's life. He said, tell of the mercy that's been shown to you. Tell of the good news that's been given to you. Go and tell that good news to everyone else. That you have been set free. That the power and the victory of Jesus have been applied to your life and you've been set free of these things. And so that's how we walk in healthy spirituality. We apply the gospel to our lives. And so when you get sick for that big exam, you say, thank you, Jesus, that you, by your stripes, I'm set free. By your stripes, my wounds are healed. And when your unsaved friend gets offended at the coffee, you say, thank you, Jesus, that you and your word are sweeter than the sweetest honey. That you can cover over any offense and any bitterness. And when your friend gets those strange panic attacks or that addiction surfaces again, you can say, thank you, Jesus, that through your resurrection, the power of sin and death have been conquered and they've been overcome. I live in that because I'm a child of God. And when your mom calls again and bothers you during your quiet time, just don't answer the phone, okay? And so I want us to do, kind of in landing this moment, I'd love us to just write down two things. If you've got something you can write down with, or make notes with pen, paper, phone, whatever, I'd love you to just take a moment. I'm going to give you 2 minutes to write down two situations or moments in your life where there's been that thoughts pop into your mind in some way, shape, or form. There must be more to this. There must be something else at play here. There must be something else going on here. I don't know what exactly that might look like, but even if you can just think of one example, write that down. I'm going to give you 2 minutes to just do that. Okay. what I want you to do, what that thing is. So now that we've kind of heard the two talks, we know that there's more at play here in those situations than just what meets the eye. And maybe in those situations, it is the work of the devil trying to come and undermine you and undercut you and cut you off because he hates you. But the beauty is Jesus loves you and he has authority over the devil because he created him. And so can we, underneath that situation or those two situations, I want you just to put a number one and a number two that apply to those situations. And then I want you to go and find a truth, a gospel truth that applies to those situations. So perhaps let's just use an example. Perhaps it's that one of you getting sick right before a really big exam or something. Go and find a biblical text, a gospel truth that you can find in the Bible that applies specifically to that situation. If you're struggling a bit, do it with a friend or do it with your life group leader or somebody. But go and find, and then once you've done that, I want you to pray and say, thank you, Jesus, that in this situation, I know there's more at play here, but I thank you that because you have said X, Y, and Z, because you are X, Y, and Z, I can have authority and freedom in this situation. I don't have to be held down or oppressed or undercut by the devil and his schemes. Does that make sense? So basically just write down your two things, write down two gospel truths from the Bible that apply to that, and then pray that through and just thank Jesus for that. So I want to land with this. Imagine we all actually did this every day. Imagine these situations that actually happened in our lives, that we got to a point where we were like, there must be more to this. We just went straight to Jesus and we said, thank you, Jesus, that you have done this and that you have done that and that you are that and that I don't need to live under this thing, that I can live in freedom, that I can live in the power of the gospel. I don't need to be oppressed by the powers of darkness. Imagine we actually did that. And so just last weekend, this week my brother phoned me to tell me about what happened last weekend where my sister-in-law had received some prayer for some deliverance stuff at her church. And she went in and first the guys came to do some talks and she was like, sure, this sounds amazing. So she went in for the 2-hour counseling session with these guys who came to present the talks. And as she was there, she's sitting there and the guy looks at her and he's like, what's wrong with your knee? And nobody knows anything's wrong with her knee except her husband. Nobody, not even me. And she had gone for sonars 2 years ago to see is there like something cancerous there or whatever. Didn't find anything. So and she said, no, you know, something's not like it. So the guy says, stand up. She stands up and he's like, your legs aren't the same length. And she's like, yeah, nobody knows that either except my husband. And so they're like, cool. Let's pray. Sit down, pull her legs out, pray, boom, she's healed. Her leg grows to the right leg. And she just says the experience that she had was almost like some supernatural force was literally like pulling her leg and pulling this thing out back into place. And as they carried on praying, there's a whole bunch of stuff she wrote down, personal stuff. I mean, obviously this was like a wow moment, but there was a whole lot of personal stuff she wrote down and they prayed through it. And some of it was kind of the work of the devil and so just prayed and prayed the truths of the gospel over her. And she was like incredibly healed of about 2 or 3 ailments she's been struggling with for like 2 or 3 years. Stomach issues she's had for like 2 years, done all sorts of stuff, tried all sorts of things within a day, absolutely, completely clear. 2 or 3 other things as well, completely clear. And so the devil had just come and undercut her and given her these sicknesses and like, not given her, but through these sicknesses had just been trying to undermine her faith and undermine her faith. And in a moment, God just came and set her free. And set her free just because of the truth of the gospel. And we can walk in that every single day, guys. We don't have to live under the oppression of the evil one. We don't have to. We don't have to at all. We can live in the freedom of Jesus. And so that was just a beautiful story for me. And I mean, her faith is more alive than it's ever been. I mean, she's just on fire. She's just stoked because she's seen the real evidence of what God has done in her life. And physically, I mean, there's something that's happened to her leg. You know, it's not the same as it was. And that's just a small reflection of what's happened on the inside of how God has just come and broken a whole bunch of chains that were holding her back. And so he can do that for you. He totally can. If you're a child of God, this is available to you. To be set free from those things you're struggling with, from those situations you can't figure out, from those things that have been holding you back. We have access to that in Jesus. And so let me close with a prayer, and then we'll go from there. Yeah, thank you, Jesus, that you are incredible, that you are amazing, that you set us free, that we don't have to live under the oppression and the tyranny of the evil one, but we can live in the freedom and the life and the joy of Jesus. Thank you that no fear can come into us because we have you, Jesus. And when we have you, we have faith. We are filled with faith. And so in this room right now, I just pray if any fear has come on anyone, just break that thing right now in Jesus' name. I pray your freedom and your faith into every heart here right now. Holy Spirit, would you come and minister right now your beautiful life-giving faith, your beautiful life-giving love to every heart here right now. Satan, you have no place to step in here. You're not welcome in this room in Jesus' name. We love you, God, and we thank you that we can just hold on to you and run with you and that there's life and life in abundance with you. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen.